There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along and your chance this hour to ask the sheriff. That is our guest, Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch. Phone number 251-343-0106. For a call or a text, 251-343-0106. Also, you can leave us a talkback message using the FM Talk 106.5 app. So all the folks that send me questions here about what the sheriff would think about this, that, or the other, well, today you get to hear from Sheriff Paul Birch. And he joins us now telephonically, but we'll get him back in studio soon. Sheriff, good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
First up here, and I wanted to, because this is just kind of, if you look through the social media, look through the news stations, it is hitting today. So I want to ask you about Camp Explorer with the Sheriff's Department. This is, you know, people can look around, you pretty much have to hide from seeing something about this today. What is Camp Explorer? What are y'all doing?
So it's something we started last year, and we do, it's, you know, two different classes of 3 days at a time. And we target, you know, school-age children 7 to 11 and just kind of, you know, show them a good time and a little bit about what we do. You know, there's participation from the fire department, Drug Education Council, our flotilla. And one of the days we have lined up this time is they're going to do a mock trial at the courthouse. So it's a really fun program. Like I said, we did it last year, had a lot of positive feedback, so want to continue to do it and hopefully continue to grow it.
Okay, you said the thing when I read the press release from y'all that came out, and I was like, okay, all these things are good, but the mock trial, I'm thinking if I'm that age, that got my attention. That, I mean, is it going to be like a real, like, where there going to be like a, somebody playing the judge, somebody playing the attorneys? What's going to happen?
Oh, there'll be actual judges and attorneys who are participating. And it'll be interactive with the kids and, you know, let them see what the court system's about and, you know, maybe produce some future judges and attorneys down the road.
I'm just thinking of, I mean, yeah, that would get, so let your kids know about that one, because that they might say, oh, okay, the other stuff seems okay. But if you let them know, I don't know, maybe I was just a weird child. If you said there's a mock trial, I would be in.
Yeah, we try to think of something a little different each year, and because I think there are some that are coming through this time that went through it last year that really enjoyed it.
Okay, so that's...
looking forward to it. I usually go visit with them, you know, on one of the days and answer questions.
And if somebody wants to get signed up, just go to y'all's website, or how do you do it?
Yep, go to our website, mobileso.com is the easiest way to sign up. The two classes this year are June 15th through 17th and June 23rd through 25th.
Okay. Good stuff. And we'll remind y'all as well, make sure you get those sign updates, and mock trial is cool. Hey, while we're talking about the Utes, Sheriff, it is that time of year. Most folks I've talked to over the years in law enforcement, including you, say, yeah, we get a tick up of crime when school's out, right? Of certain kind of crime. So, I mean, it's a seasonal thing. Do you see more increase in this from year to year, or is it about the same? What do y'all prepare yourselves for at the Sheriff's Department?
It does increase a little bit year to year, you know, because social media plays a role in that, and, you know, people communicate where they're going to, you know, do things they shouldn't be doing as kids. And, you know, but we also do see an uptick in, unfortunately, auto burglaries. you know, where kids may not be out wandering late at night during school. They have all this time on their hands and decide to go out and do things they shouldn't be doing.
Speaking of which, so I was last week in a discussion, I think a discussion actually started about the scooters downtown, but it went into, you know what it was, about MPD's crime report. And on the increase in auto thefts, I think Chief Jackson said something to the fact that it was a TikTok challenge that increased auto thefts. Did y'all see that in the county?
Not that I'm aware of. And we fortunately, we don't get a lot of auto thefts out in the county. And, you know, it's a little different. Rural areas are a little different than, say, metropolitan areas. It's, you know, if you're going to steal a car, you might have to walk down a 100-yard driveway to get there.
I just, you know, I was thinking
the end result might not be good.
Yeah, I guess I'm naive enough and old guy enough. I was like, okay, TikTok challenge, the kids will be eating cinnamon or something, whatever the one they did before, or, you know, some kind of stunt like that, like, or how many burgers can you eat in this period of time, or, you know, stuff that I probably would have been drawn to as a youth. But this one, like,
right, mischievous things, but yes, not committing a crime.
Right. I mean, it would be like, yeah,
a felony at that.
Let's see if we get Paul to eat the whole thing of cinnamon, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I probably would have been guilty of that. But, yeah, the TikTok challenge to do something that's a felony. Kind of shocking.
Again, you don't know what goes through their minds.
Anything else on the looking at the juvenile system and, you know, younger offenders? And we're talking about car theft or cinnamon challenge, but a lot of times these are the people we're talking about in violent offenses as well, violent incidents.
Yeah, you know, one thing I will say that, you know, we have seen an increase, you know, through the last couple of years. You know, parents need to talk to their kids and be in their business when it comes to their phones. We are seeing younger and younger juveniles sharing inappropriate images with their phones. And a lot of times parents don't believe it until you show it to them. And so, again, they've got all this free time on their hands. And, you know, parents need to, if they're paying the phone bill, which I imagine that age, teenage kids, that's who's paying the bill. That's your phone, be in their business.
And maybe it's worth and get an expert on, or you want to send somebody from the sheriff's department, because it's not as simple as just, I hope most of people listening here are not that naive, but just looking through the phone, you know, numbers they called or the text, I mean, there's so many, that's probably the third down the list of how they talk to each other. I got two teenagers, you
it
know,
is.
I mean,
it is.
They're like, well, why didn't you message me on such and such? I said, I don't know, because I texted you 2 days ago about the, you know, it's not just text and phone calls.
It's not. Like I said, there's all these different apps now that they use to communicate, but, you know, we do have experts in that field, and, you know, if any of the parents out there have any concerns or questions, you know, get in touch with us, and we'll put you in touch with the experts.
So as you look at this overall, now we can expand from juveniles to adults as well. What crime is increasing the most, or the area that you think about the most? Is it violent crime? Is it property crime? Is it drug crime? Something else?
I would say drug crime is just, you know, it's one of those things. It's like whack-a-mole. You can shut them down in one location and, you know, they go to jail, make bond, and they're running at another location. But I would say that's probably, you know, one of the things that we stay focused on. And obviously, you know, violent crime is something we closely monitor. I hate to even say it, but we have seen a little downtick and hope it, you know, continues in that direction. But again, it is summertime coming up, and historically, you know, violent crime goes up during summertime.
Coming right back, more with Sheriff Birch and your chance to ask the sheriff. We'll get your questions in on the text line, 251-343-0106. It's Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, it's 12:19, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, continuing with your chance to ask the sheriff. Our guest, Sheriff Paul Burch, and we'll get into it, Sheriff, starting here.
Yep.
Jason says, Sheriff Burch, we all believe iron sharpens iron. So will any of the issues brought up by your recent opponent be corrected or improved on, and what can be done to fix long-delayed response times in Tanner Williams community? A family member recently waited over 50 minutes for a deputy to arrive on a domestic call. Thanks. That's from Jason.
Well, Jason, I'll say, you know, some of the stuff being put out by my opponent was not accurate information. So, you know, some things we've looked at, you know, but a lot of it was just not true. And so there's nothing to change in that regard. As far as response time, you know, obviously I would have to know more circumstances, but it would need, I would bet that it was something where one party had already left the scene. And therefore, that drops the priority level of the call. But for our priority one calls, which an active domestic would be, our average response time is 12 to 15 minutes.
Okay, so if somebody, while both parties are there, that's that 12 to 15 minutes. If, hey, they've left, but still come out, that
yeah, it drops. Just still come out, but there may be another priority one call come in, you know, during that time frame.
Okay, let's see, unnamed texter here. What do the voters need to know about the upcoming election? Everyone assumes you already won.
Well, I do have an opponent in November, and you know, it's no secret. Democratic Party turned out a little over 2,000 votes more than the Republican Party did. So, you know, that's alarming from myself and other Republicans in Mobile County. You know, our qualifications are not even close. You know, I would encourage people to, you know, look on their own and see the difference between the two of us. But getting out to vote is going to be what's key.
This one from Dirt Digger said, what do I need to do? We have young children riding up and down our avenue on ATVs and mini bikes without helmets on, and I don't want them to get hurt. And the adults driving on too fast, I don't want them getting hurt playing basketball on the road as well.
Just call the sheriff's office, or you can submit a crime tip. And we follow up on all of those. And, you know, we work certain grants that we can get out there, and we can also close patrol those areas. And, but we certainly want to address safety issues like that. And, you know, the more we know about it and, you know, narrow down the times that it's usually occurring, you know, we can focus our efforts during those times.
Yeah, I guess that's a summertime thing, too. I see, kind of living in the country, when we get people, yeah, there's more ATV riding on roads and, you know, on private property and those things. That seems to, not like it's gone the rest of the year, but it kicks up in the summertime.
Right. Well, like I said, these kids have more time on their hands.
Yep. Jerry in Fort Morgan, but he's not the only one, so I'm kind of, he'll be the lead for this question. He said, help me understand exactly what went on at Big Creek Lake and the so-called bomb. A lot of people are asking for updates on that from the Sheriff's Department.
Well, you know, the only role that the sheriff's office played in that was when the person conducting that, you know, survey called our people that we have that, you know, are contracted with MAWS to maintain their properties or patrol their properties. He looked at a photo and he said, look, we don't have a, sheriff's office does not have a bomb squad, and referred them to MPD. And that was literally our only involvement in the case. And but my understanding is that the item appeared to be something that had been down there for quite some time. And so it wasn't like it was an active, you know, somebody trying to blow something up, you know, around the time frame it was discovered.
But don't tell national host that. It's funny. I did a little piece on the show because I looked through all these comments from national hosts out there. And they're like, as close as they were to saying the IRGC showed up. I said in a comment there, I rarely comment on social media, but I said, trust me, I think the IRGC is a little too busy to have come to Mobile County, Alabama and send an explosive. So, yeah.
Well, I'm currently at the National Sheriff's Conference in Omaha, Nebraska, and I've had other sheriffs from around the country asking me about it. So it made the circuit.
Well, and here at home, obviously, I mean, that part I kind of, you know, dismissed, but the what and when, all that is still, I think, top of mind for a lot of people. Like, what was going on?
Sure.
And you know, what is the and people have often asked those, because I've said, hey, they should have a press conference. I mean, MAWS. But they said, well, why didn't the Sheriff's Department have a press conference on it? So I'm just, that's the questions people have been asking me. But you're saying y'all just not that involved.
Again, we just didn't have any involved other than to look at a photo and refer them to MPD, who does have, you know, EOD experts.
But is there, I mean, like, so they did this part, but is there a follow-on? Like, if something like this is reported, they come out, bomb squad, they do this, they detonate. Is it over, or is law enforcement going, okay, now we're going to figure out the material used, who might have had this? I mean, or is the investigation over? I mean, I know y'all aren't in it, but you know law enforcement. What do you think's happening?
Yeah, in this particular incident, again, is my understanding from talking with others involved, the device has probably been there for years and was just discovered. And they're not even sure what it was. So, you know, I don't know how you would follow up on that. Yeah, there's not even a place to start. And when they blew it up, you know, that you don't have anything to go from after that either.
Okay, this texter says, I have a question. I know people who have had their Facebook profiles hacked and their identity copied. I've read that hackers put child porn and illegal stuff on their profiles. What can law enforcement do about that? Because it seems that officers just tell the victims to take it up with Facebook.
Well, you know, certainly I would say report it, but, and we can try to do an investigation. You know, and Facebook is one of those that's really, really not super cooperative in trying to get that information. But if it involves child pornography, you know, it makes it easier. But it's like, you know, somebody getting mad at an ex-girlfriend, putting stuff up there, that's a little more difficult to get them. But it's every situation is different. Every case is different.
But y'all don't have a hotline?
If it involves child pornography, we can go on, get on it pretty quick.
But otherwise, y'all don't have a hotline. I'm saying this jokingly because I know Leanna's sitting in the other room. Well, the silliest thing happened years ago. We had put up, like, even shared a story. I mean, it was like something about an Austal contract or something like that. And for some reason, they Facebook jailed us. There's like not a phone number or a, it doesn't have to be that. Anywhere you can text to get immediate response. It's like, for regular people, there's no hotline to get to Facebook.
No, I don't even know that you can actually talk to a person. You know, the way our process works is we get either a subpoena or a warrant and submit it to their legal department. It's kind of in their hands at that point.
Well, with Meta having fired, I don't know how many more people for AI, soon there'll be really no one actually to talk to at all. So,
at all, yeah.
Michael.
Who knows? Maybe AI might be a little easier to deal with.
Well, I had the same thought myself. Michael says, can you ask the sheriff if he's seen a change with Aaliyah on the water? Also, it would be a great day for, oh, Snapperfish, he's telling me, yeah, he said, but yeah, the Aaliyah on the water, have you heard any reports here of them stopping people?
I have, from both sides of the bay. It seems to be, you know, a little better, you know, not having as many negative encounters, but they're still present. You know, we've got friends that have seen them, and I've seen them out on the water a couple of times, but not hearing the stories that we were hearing before.
Okay, so you're seeing, your phone's not ringing as much?
No, not near as much. Of course, it helps that we've had boats out on the water as well. So,
well, and that's another thing. So somebody was asking me, this has been a week or two ago, I guess around opening of snapper season, they thought they were stopped, you know, violating this, you know, boaters' Bill of Rights here. And they were saying, well, what do I do? If I believe, is there a mechanism to protest this, or what do they do if they feel like they got stopped without having any probable cause?
Well, what I've said before is I would encourage, you know, always be courteous, but record, you know, the interaction. That way, if you do have to challenge it in court, you know, you've got your side of what occurred as well.
Okay. So record that and keep that.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, hopefully things are going to be better going forward. I have not heard near as many stories.
Okay. Well, I imagine here during the news break, if people with this audience, if they have stories, they'll probably come popping in to the text line. All right. Coming right back, more with Sheriff Birch. And of course, yeah, text line 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106. Your chance to ask the sheriff. We'll get to those questions when we come back right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along, and good to have Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch, our guest this hour, and your chance to ask the sheriff. So we'll continue to do that. To follow up on our discussion about the boating, Derek asking, please elaborate again. There has to be a better answer than everyone has a phone. But you go back through what you're saying. You have a phone, you record the interaction, and then what do you do with that?
Well, if you're issued a citation and you feel like it was not, you know, a legitimate citation, then you would take that to court with you and you know, show your side of the encounter.
Okay, so get the phone out.
Unfortunately, it's just so, you know, I still don't like the fact that the, you know, you can be stopped for making a wake, because that is so subjective, you know, with the different boats, you know, but some of that is being used as probable cause to make a stop. Again, I would have, you know, I wouldn't suggest the, you know, boat operator, you know, try to drive and video. But if you have a passenger on the boat, just let them video the entire encounter.
Yeah, I hope on the wake thing that the officers that are on Marine Patrol get it, because there are, I mean, there's absolutely people that need to be pulled over for creating a wake where they shouldn't. And then there's absolutely some that are like, just the size of the boat can't help it. You know, it's the pitch and it's the angle of the boat. You know, it's the amount of waves coming off a certain size boat. Yeah, it's not like you can't get a ruler out there and measure the height of the wake, because it depends on the boat. But there is some nuance to that one. Who's being a jerk and who, you know, can't help it? They got to keep the boat moving exactly, so they can steer it.
Yeah. I've said all along, if somebody's acting a fool, then by all means, you know, they deserve everything they get.
But, yeah.
You know, but just if somebody's out just cruising and, you know, in another person's eyes, there's a little too much weight, you know, that just, you know, I have a problem with that.
Right. Jason, does the sheriff have any comment on the recent civil suit involving him and Johnny Hatcher? Well, it's not between, if I'm thinking about the right way, not between y'all, but y'all are both being named in this lawsuit, right? Coming out of the bayou?
We are, and I can't comment a lot about it, you know, because it's pending litigation. But what I will say is it's already been thrown out of court once, and so the exact same thing was refiled. And, you know, we've let the lawyers do what the lawyers do.
Right. A named texter here. Sheriff, any progress on who shot the woman's horse north of Saraland?
Not as of yet, but we are actively investigating.
Okay. Yeah, there's been a couple. I mean, I took some umbrage with it, I guess it was a week or two ago, because the headline said the goats were slaughtered by dogs. And I said, well, dogs, you know, don't do slaughtering. People do. But yeah, there's been some like livestock, you know, killed stories here. I mean, I guess it's not new. We get this, you know, throughout the year, but it seemed a couple of them back to back here.
It does, and again, whether that can be attributed to, you know, kids are out of school now, don't really know, but we are actively conducting those investigations.
Right. Squirrel Vereen, here's a suggestion. I would like the sheriff to put a billboard on I-10 by the jail with an arrow pointing at it and warning drivers that if they do wrong in Mobile, that jail can be their home.
Well, that would be entertaining. However, the I would hope we don't have any new guests. We're at 1609 this morning.
Which is, to remind folks, too, what is capacity?
1187.
I mean, where do we go with that? I mean, I know you said, you know what, they do wrong, you'll just continue to pack them in there. But does it not lead to a situation like the state or something that, where if you're that far over capacity, there's going to be a challenge?
It does, but there are some things that are in the works that I think in the very near future will help relieve some of the overcrowding. We have been going through just over the last week or so some of these people with some severe medical problems that is not really a threat, to the public, trying to get them out of the jail. And again, there's some things in works, with the courts that will help ease that overcrowding real soon.
This is all just imaginary because we don't know what it would look like. But if in the Bentley era, they hadn't closed down the mental health facilities, right? If we're still running those facilities here, do you think that would make a difference in the number we're talking about today that's in the jail?
It would, absolutely. There's still plenty of them there with criminal charges. But, of that number I just gave, well over 350 are on mental health medications. So
350 if you have them, 1600. Wow.
Yeah. So if you have them in a facility that, maybe they would not have committed that crime if they were, being taken care of. It's just, something we may never know.
Well, and I know that, to fill in the things have been done in the city to be able to have mental health care, people go, like in town with MPD and all that to help those people because they're better qualified than, law enforcement to do it. But it's just, I also hear from those same people, we go and help these people, try to get these people into a facility, get it back on their medicine, but they also deal with people who don't want to. I mean, they just say no, and they have to be forced to do it, I guess.
They do, and that's just one of those things where you just don't, every situation is different, and, we participate in that same program that the city does, and we've got mental health workers that come to the jail and help stabilize people, but it's when they choose not to take the medicine or comply, then you have to, go through the courts and force them to take it. Otherwise, you're just dealing with a constant problem.
Yeah, in a way, though, I mean, this is what's happened since this happened under Bentley, that y'all and law enforcement all over the state have become, this is my opinion, you can say what you think, have become a substitute or a surrogate for the mental health system in Alabama.
We have. Absolutely, we have.
If you could, okay, let's talk about this. If you could draft it, you could have, elected official draft a bill, something for Goat Hill, something for Montgomery to help this, what would that look like? I mean, you don't have to give me line item, but like if you said, hey, let's get some legislation to try to do this, you and the other sheriffs, 66 around the state, what would you ask for from the state?
There needs to be facilities, like true
brick and mortar facilities.
Brick and mortar facilities, transportation available when needed. And, that's the only way I believe that it's ever going to change.
So, the state to,
for the most part,
state
they don't
to
belong
these.
In jail.
Yeah, for the state to come in and fill in, right? To have places for these people to go.
Exactly.
Well,
it existed in the past, so there's no reason it can't be put back in place.
Yeah, it was, I remember it happening and hearing people back then talk about what could happen down the road. I mean, it got my attention back then. I was not blind to it. But the people were talking about what could happen. Some of those people have been, if they're not 100% right, they're 95% right is what happened when they shut it down.
Yeah, absolutely. All they really did is just turn them loose on the street.
How as a state, I know this is, you know, water long under the bridge has already flowed out into the Gulf and come back again, but how we thought in Montgomery that was the right idea, that there wasn't a voice there to go, what are we doing?
Well, there's a lot of things coming out of Montgomery that's not the right idea.
Okay, well then, what's like...
But I don't know who thought it would be a good idea to do that, and they had to have some kind of idea what the repercussions would be.
Well, as we're talking about the legislative side of things, from somebody who is in the law enforcement business, what's a law you'd like to see changed? If there's something out there you'd like to see changed to get rid of, to enhance, to change the wording, is there something that you'd say, man, I wish they would change this in Montgomery?
Yeah, that there's been some changes on punishments for engaging in a pursuit or attempting to elude. And again, it has improved, but I think still think it needs to be much more serious, because that is one of the most dangerous things that a person can be involved with, is running from law enforcement and putting the public at risk. I there ought to be serious prison time, mandatory prison time that goes along with that.
Right. So, I mean, it would be on top of whatever the charge, like they're evading police because they did X, Y, Z. And then they get that charge, and then this is an enhancement charge on that?
No, attempt to elude is an actual, charge. Mm-hmm. And they did, and I'm I think it's 6 months now. It's either 60 days or 6 months you have to do if you get caught doing that, I think, the second time. I don't have it in front of me. So again, it's an improvement, but again, I just don't think it's as serious, taken as serious as it needs to.
There we go. All right.
I believe in catching the bad guys. I don't like them getting away, but they put the public at risk when they run.
Coming right back. More with Sheriff Birch right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Your chance to ask the sheriff. That's easy to do at 251-343-0106. And continue our conversation with Sheriff Birch. This one says, for the sheriff, if I had a lifetime pistol permit from Alabama and moved to Mississippi, is it still valid?
I mean, it should be. It's a permit that's issued, in the state. It's a legally issued permit, so it should be.
Okay, so if you had, this person had a lifetime permit.
What Mississippi's, I guess, thinking that out, that pistol permit is valid in the county that you live in, county and state. So if you move to another state, I would think you need to obtain one, where you live. Just like I have some friends in Baldwin County that live in Baldwin County, work over here, and they're like, hey, can I come get one here, just because it's easier. The law says you have to get it within the county that you live.
And we could talk about reciprocity, but I got a little something to throw into this conversation. So last week I was looking at this detail. I've got drawn. I'm going to, hopefully everything works right, I'll be archery elk hunting in Colorado this year after 12 years of applying. I'll be archery elk hunting, and I was, wanted to see what the concealed carry permit stuff is for Colorado. And it said, I get more liberty than if somebody in Colorado wants to conceal carry. If they're a resident, they have a higher hurdle because we have reciprocity with Colorado, which surprised me. But I can carry concealed, where they would have to go to another level. They can I think, open carry. It was interesting. It was like, yeah, if you come from these states, Alabama was one of them, what y'all's laws are, you can do here. But if you're a resident of Colorado, you have to do this, this, and this. You know, it was just interesting how that was. I thought it would be more restrictive on the person from out of state, but it actually, the way I read it, was less restrictive. So I was like, cool.
That's the way I understand it as well.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, the idea would be with the lifetime permit, would it still be good if they were in Alabama? The idea is like, buddy of mine who moved to Louisiana, but he got his lifetime Alabama hunting license before he moved to Louisiana. Now he doesn't have to get an out-of-state hunting license here because he has a lifetime. If you were back in, let's say you have that issued concealed carry permit for Alabama, you're now a resident of Mississippi, but you're traveling through Alabama, would you still be able to use that? You know, if you were, you know, if somebody asked here in Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, the
even though you don't have to have
valid
it
but in Alabama, but I would see where, let's just say you stop by a Mississippi trooper, and you know, you have your permit from Alabama, but yet you have a driver's license from Mississippi. I can see where that may raise an eyebrow.
Okay, so better just. I don't think it's really restrictive to get one for Mississippi, but they're probably saying, "Dang it, I got the lifetime for Alabama. How can I make this thing keep working for me?"
Yeah. And I can see that.
Right. A couple questions I had here, and then we'll get back to some from the text line. I got to do this because it's that time of year. It's hurricane season. It's opened up here. What do y'all do? Is there any extra prep y'all do with Sheriff's Department or anything to get ready for hurricane season, or is it just the same as every other day?
No, we've got a number of generators and chainsaws and, you know, equipment like that that we'll make sure it's all running good and, you know, get them tuned up and make sure we have fresh fuel for all of it. And then look at our, you know, with hurricanes, obviously comes flooding a lot of times. So we'll check and make sure those areas of concern, you know, look at those ahead of time, see if there's anything that needs to be done in conjunction with, you know, the road and bridge with the county commission. So,
okay.
So there's a little prep work that goes into it.
All right, okay, so there you go. There's my hurricane question. Just figured it's, you know, hurricane season at John. All right, deputy numbers, how are you looking right now at the Sheriff's Department?
We're on the enforcement side, we're fully staffed. We do have a couple retirements coming up, you know, in the near future, and we've got a waiting list to fill those. The jail side, you know, corrections officers, we're still down about 30.
Out of how many? What percentage is that of what you need?
We have, I'd say we need every bit of that 30 to be safely operate the jail. So that's a tough job. You know, and I can't say that, you know, enough to people for them to understand that, you know, these corrections officers are locked in there with the criminals, you know, 24 hours a day. And, you know, it's just a harder job to fill. You know, the biggest problem that we've run into is you know, you're doing interviews and, you know, start asking them about, you know, drug use. Or when's the last time you say, you know, did cocaine? Oh, you know, 2 weeks ago, a week ago.
What?
We run into that a lot.
Really? I mean, they come in there. Wow, I should say something not very nice. People are that dumb.
Yeah, well, and obviously those are, you know, those are ones that we'd be super concerned about, you know, because
I'd say
risk of bringing contraband into the jail, you know, aside from, you know, the policies that would be violated.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not in this business, but I see that as a red flag.
Yeah.
And speaking of, like, The contraband, you know, we've talked about before, the different ways things were getting in. Y'all still dealing with that? Is it a daily thing, weekly thing, monthly thing? What?
No, not near what we use. I mean, we may come across some, you know, a couple times a month, maybe.
And you just, I mean, the way, you know, thinking about it for the prison system, you know, versus jail, but, like, there's no other way in there, right? Unless, I know we had the stuff with the letting the rope down and all those things we had talked about in the past, but other than that, it has to be coming in from somebody who's, somebody has to be bringing it in, physically bring it in. Am I right?
Exactly. You are. And, you know, what we've seen, you know, last few times is, you know, they call it sprayed paper. And, you know, there's papers that are sprayed with different chemicals or drugs. And that's usually what we've encountered here the last few times. And yes, that would probably come in from a corrections officer.
Yeah, if you got the envelope sealed, except for, you know, these people, then you know, I don't know which one of y'all it is, but it's somebody here, right? It didn't magically grow from the floor here.
Yeah, we stay on top of those things, and we do our best to prevent it. And, you know, employees have to have clear, you know, backpacks when they come in. And, you know, but it's the, where there's a will, there's going to be a way.
If, before we wrap up here, I'm just looking at this, making sure we follow back up. If anybody needs information on Camp Explorer, you've got two windows here, but sign up is this month, right?
It is, yes. Yeah, because it starts, you know, next week.
Okay, so go to the website.
MobileSO.com, you know, sign up, and you know, I think the kids will really enjoy it.
All right, check that out. And then, of course, a lot of other things. That's not the only thing going on y'all's website. People want to see crime around their area. They can see that map.
Yep. My neighborhood, and, of course, everybody likes to see who's in jail.
No. Really? They're nosy? Yeah,
that's the most popular thing on the website, from what I'm told.
Shocking me. Not really. Sure. Thanks for your time, man. We'll do it again next month.
Yeah. Sounds great. Look forward to it.
All right, there goes Sheriff Archer. We're coming right back. Todd Stacey joins us here in this next hour. So does Jared Hudson, coming off that, really wasn't a debate last night, but the appearance there at the forum in Montgomery. We'll pick that up when we come back.